Well, it's good to be with you again, be able to, for just a little while, study some things in God's Word. If you have your Bibles, look with me to John, the third chapter. John, the third chapter. We'll start with about the first couple of verses there. But it's good to be able to get to assemble with you, to blend our thoughts and minds and our voices together and praise unto God, approach Him in prayer. And it ought to be a blessing for us all, and I'm sure it is. For each one of us. Good to see you. Got a beautiful morning, a beautiful day in which to come together. John, the third chapter, beginning in verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. And that introduces, in a fantastic way, just this discussion between Jesus and Nicodemus, as he is described, one of the rulers of the Jewish people. Nicodemus was a national leader. He was a part of the Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin is the Greek word for what they called it. I can't pronounce it in Hebrew, so but we stay with Sanhedrin. Hedron means seat. And there was about 70 of them, or 72, and it was kind of their Supreme Court. Kind of, that's probably the best way for us to think of it. There were smaller Sanhedrins, probably in every town throughout Israel, made up of 6 or 8 people. But this one in Jerusalem was the great Sanhedrin. And he comes to Jesus at night, which I can understand. A lot of people are of the opinion maybe he came because he was maybe hesitant, or maybe he just didn't want somebody knowing he was coming at night. But I can imagine if he was part of the Supreme Court, he had a busy schedule every day. Jesus had a busy schedule every day, speaking and teaching all day long. I can imagine that probably he wanted to come in the evening to talk about something that was on his mind. And it seems like as you get into verse 3, he wanted to talk to him about the kingdom of God, because he had heard Jesus teach before. But I've always been impressed with the idea that Nicodemus, this man who was a Pharisee of the Sanhedrin, a leader, he would come to him, he would recognize the power of Jesus. No man can do what you do unless God is with him. And the thought that would come to his mind is that you're a teacher. Rabbi, we know, rabbi also means teacher. Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these things that you do unless God is with him. And he understood by that very word, that idea, that Jesus had a purpose other than maybe just being something. He was there to convey something. He was a teacher in that regard. But it's interesting to me that there were just fantastic descriptions of Jesus all through the Gospels, also here in John. And yet one here that is very common. All of us have had teachers. We probably all have had the opportunity to maybe teach other people in some circumstances. Teaching is that very wonderful ability to convey ideas or to impart a knowledge or skill or an instruction to someone. And it is a wonderful thing to be able to do. But I think of that in contrast of what Jesus was described as. Back in the first chapter of John, verse 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Imagine what the Jewish people thought when they heard that for the first time. I mean, you and I have heard it all of our lives. Jesus is the Lamb of God. What would come to the Jewish people's mind when they think of Lamb of God? The Lamb of God's only used twice in all the Bible. Right here and on further down in verse 36 or 7, somewhere along there. They would think of the lamb, obviously, that would be offered. But here is a prophet of Israel, John the Baptist, pointing his finger right at Jesus, and he says, Behold, and it's a a surprise statement. He says, behold, the Lamb of God. And when they would think of a lamb, they wouldn't think of the Galilean teacher, but he would say, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And what would that was just a strange way of looking at it, a strange way of thinking about it. Over in the second chapter of John, just to put, he not only turns water into wine, but he goes in verse 13 and he cleanses the temple. And as it describes, he found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and dove and money changers doing business. And when he had made a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen and poured out over the changers' money and overturned the tables. And they asked for a sign. He said, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up. Again, they were just stunned by it. Whatever way you thought of destroy this temple, whether it be this temple that took 46 years to build, Jesus could have done that. But he was talking about his upcoming death and his resurrection. Or over in the fourth chapter, remember when he talked about he goes and speaks to the woman at the well. And at one point he tells her, go get your husband. And she said, well, I don't have a husband. He said, that's right, you've had five, haven't you? And as you look down through there, she said, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Well, that would be something. I mean, to think of these descriptions, Lamb of God, or prophet, or the temple destroyer and builder. And then when you get into the fifth chapter, he talks about that he has the very power and will raise all of the dead who have ever lived. And down at verse John 5 and verse 28, he says, do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in their graves will hear his voice. And if you read the previous verse, that voice is his voice, the Son of Man. And all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come forth. They have done good in the resurrection. Why? I mean, he's talking about he's going to raise every single person that has ever lived on this earth, and he's going to raise them to destruction. Well, then you get into the sixth chapter and you begin all of the I am statements, don't you? In the sixth chapter, he says, I'm the bread of life. In the eighth chapter, I'm the light of the world. And you get in the 10th chapter, there's two of them. He says, I'm the gate of the sheepfold, and I am the good shepherd. In the 11th chapter, I'm the resurrection and the life. When you get down to the 14th chapter, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Chapter 15, he says, I am the true vine. I mean, all of those just tremendous in and of themselves, what he was claiming to do. And yet here is Nicodemus back in the third chapter. He says, Rabbi, our teacher, we know that you're a teacher come from God. And that in itself is tremendous. He recognized the power of Jesus because he said, no man can do these things except God be with him. And certainly the most simple definition, I guess, of teacher is just one who imparts knowledge, as we already said. One who displays an ability to convey something that is important. That's what teachers do. That's one of the great things about being a teacher. Japanese have a proverb that says, one day with a great teacher is better than 1,000 days of diligent study. Well, I guess there's a lot of truth to that. Teachers have the ability to make things concise and simplify that which is complex and make a point for a student. It's wonderful. And this is what Nicodemus sees in Jesus. Not the Lamb of God, not the light of the world. He may have had an inkling of that yet. But what he sees is Jesus going about teaching and impressing people with the things of God. And so he comes to Jesus by night. And it seems obvious, by the way, he says in verse 3, that he's interested in the kingdom of God. And it seems like as he begins this, he starts off talking about the idea of this being a teacher. Tell me about the kingdom of God. Read with me verse 3. Jesus sort of cuts through all the red tape, greetings from one to another. And Jesus just says, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus just reacted to this. Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he is old? And that becomes a discussion of the next few verses. He's asking about the kingdom of God. And all of a sudden, he's in a discussion about being born again. So one of the things that stand out when he comes to Jesus and sees him as a teacher, the question becomes, why do we need a teacher? Especially here. Well, it's because there are things we don't know, and there are answers that we don't have. And this is what Jesus is doing, and he is going about teaching people. And the Old and New Testament teach this. And you can see that later on as it comes along. Old Testament, Jeremiah 10:23. It is not within man that walks to direct himself. The way of man is not in himself, Jeremiah said. Or Proverbs, the 14th chapter. There's a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. We may assume some things and think some things, and that's exactly what Nicodemus was doing. And he's being taught here that he's going to have to change his whole thinking about this thing called the kingdom of God. Notice how Nicodemus responds to what Jesus says. And he says, verse 3, Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verse 4, Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And so Jesus again is talking here about this idea of being born again. Verse 5, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. So I'm not talking about a physical flesh or fleshly birth. And that which is born of the spirit is spirit. I'm talking about the spirit of a person. Verse 7, do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the spirit. It's not physical. When you look at a person who conducts and acts in certain ways, but you can see their acts and you can understand their thoughts and their understanding by the way they live their life. But look again, verse 9. Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? Jesus' answer to him is, are you a teacher of Israel and you do not know these things? Both of them hold a very important position here. And Nicodemus comes to Jesus and doesn't seem to have an inkling of an idea about what it means to be born again. He has some questions about the kingdom of God. And that's probably one of the things Jesus had to do. First of all, talking about being born again. Verse 11, Jesus said, most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I've told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? Why do we need a teacher? Of all the things that Jesus could have been and all the things that Jesus was, certainly we need to be taught. And here is one of the leaders of Israel, who in his entire nation for 1,500 years has had the words of God, the very teachings of God, the Old Testament, as we say, that would lead them to an understanding of the Messiah to come. And he didn't see it. There's knowledge that we need, we don't have, answers that we don't have. And as a result, we're teaching, and this is why Jesus goes along teaching people. Before he can get to I'm the way, the truth, and life, he's got to convince them that he has the answers that are important. We need to be taught of God, what God is, what he wants, and what he has planned for us. We must understand the role of God in the place of teaching. Psalms 25 and verse 4 says this, "Show me your way, O Lord. Teach me your paths." I believe we sing a song like that. Psalms 25 and verse 12, "Who is the man that fears the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way he chooses." To be a Christian, to be a follower of the Lord, to be one that is born anew, born again, is to be one who is taught and understands the kingdom of heaven, the nature of it. Look with me over in John, the 6th chapter. In John, the 6th chapter, Jesus is speaking with those people where he's going to tell them he's the bread of life, and trying to impress upon them, again, the spiritual nature. Their attitude toward him was completely right. I don't think Nicodemus' attitude was like theirs here. Look at verse 26. In the 6th chapter of John, 6th chapter, verse 26. "Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal upon him." They were just seeing Jesus sort of as a meal ticket, weren't they? Jesus could feed everybody. If he can feed them, he can certainly arm them and do a lot of other things for them. And he goes on to teach them some things they don't want to listen to. And it's at this point, many of his disciples leave him and go back and walk with him no more. But it seems like Nicodemus wanted to understand. And I think he does later on. He figures it out. He understands. But in John, the 6th chapter, in verse 44, Jesus is answering them, because they had begun, in verse 43, he says they had begun to murmur. Verse 44 says, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day." Verse 45, "It is written in the prophets, they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me." A lot of questions, just why that was. Why was it that God expected and decided to have people taught the truth? How people learn the truth and then respond to it. There's a lot of other thoughts about that. Maybe we can get to that some other time. But only by being taught can we become children of God. That we have to listen to the speakers and the teachers of the Lord and listen to their word, apply them to our life. Become a child of God. It's not the nation you're born in. That don't have anything to do with it. It's not being born of God is not an accident. It's something that is intentional. It's not just by intuition. It is understanding the things that God would have us to do and be. And that's what he's talking about back in John, the 3rd chapter. So we're having this question, why do we have teachers, or why did teachers come? Because we have knowledge that we need, answers that we need, and we need to be taught specifically of God, because we can't provide the things and the plan that we need. Man has a sin problem. When you go back to Isaiah, the 59th chapter, and you read about it there, you read that man has a problem. He's separated from God, and man cannot solve that problem. Romans 6 tells us that the wages of sin is death. And as a result, then we're not being able to approach God in a way that we would like. And so we have this problem that when we need God's will and we need God's word and to be taught of him, like the preacher told Paul, you know, in Acts 22 and verse 16, "Why tarriest thou? Arise, be baptized, wash away thy sins." They taught him what to do. And later on, he became a teacher himself. That was the point we needed to have, because God chose also to communicate his will through teaching. That was the important thing that we just read in John, the 6th chapter here. This statement is written in the prophets, they shall all be taught of God. It was God's purpose that people would be taught by teachers who knew the truth and would lead them. And then we'd have the Great Commission. Like Mark 16, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Or Matthew, the 28th chapter, go into all the world, all the nations, make disciples of all nations, students, learners, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe whatsoever things I have commanded you. It's this teaching and learning and application to our lives that make us the disciples of the Lord. And the important thing is that Nicodemus couldn't see that at first. When you see it back in John, the third chapter, where we were looking a few moments ago, it seems like Nicodemus at first was confused. Verse 4, how can these things be? How can a man be born when he is old? How does he teach? First of all, that we can see that he shows us God. Come back with me to John, the third chapter. In this context, John, the third chapter, and you look down at, well, we read verse 10. Jesus answered and said, are you a teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Verse 11. Most assuredly I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. Jesus was talking about him. He's working his way toward the kingdom of God, but he's trying to get him to understand that it's going to be the heart and the mind and conviction of the heart that will lead a person to God. And it's not just being born Jewish, but it's being born in a way that you would know what God would have you to do and that God would accept everyone. Over in John, but go back in John the first chapter, we're in John the third chapter, back in John the first chapter, verse 18, John writes this. He says, no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. In other words, what's the teaching going on here? What is Jesus angling at? To develop in his heart and mind the truth of God, the truth of God's will. Follow with me over in 1 John, the fifth chapter, right near the close of the first letter that John writes, first epistle that he writes. 1 John, the fifth chapter, read down at verse 20, next to the last verse. John writes this, he says, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. The gospel was taught. The gospel was preached. It was proclaimed. People were called up on to listen, to hear, to do the things of God's will. Nicodemus concluded rightly that Jesus was a teacher. Certainly was. Because that's all he saw and heard Jesus doing was going about teaching, but he was demonstrating the very power of God. And so when you think about, and that's exactly what the apostles started doing. Look what we're doing in Acts, the second chapter, the day of Pentecost. You look down where in verse 22. Peter does almost the exact same thing. Acts 2nd chapter, verse 22. Peter stands up and says, men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death because it was not possible that he should be held by it. That's the way he begins. Something that they hadn't heard before. He tells them so many times, if you've studied this chapter, you recognize he tells them four things here, doesn't he? Two things they know and two things they don't know. He says, Jesus, as you read verse 22 again, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know. Well, they knew that. And then also, you read in verse 23, him being delivered by the determinate purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death. What part of that did they know? They knew they had taken him out and crucified him. They knew he was a man attested by God, by miracles, wonders, and signs, and they knew they had taken him out and crucified him. What they didn't know was, is that was it was a part of God's will. Verse 23 again, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God. They didn't know that. That's what he's going to spend the next few verses talking about after he makes this statement. And then verse 24, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible he should be held by it. They didn't know that, but he's about to tell them that. When you read further and continue reading down through there, you come to verse 32, this Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. He was teaching the very same way. The apostles were teaching what Jesus was trying to get Nicodemus to see. That Jesus came, he was the teacher, and not only was he the teacher, he was God in the flesh. He was the creator. He was the sacrifice for all of mankind. He was and is King of kings, and he shall be the judge at the end of time. They didn't conceive of that. They had no idea of that. That's what you read in the second chapter of Acts, the very position of Christ. And they were stunned by it. And of course, when they say in verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ, they cried out, men and brethren, what shall we do? He came to teach, and he gave his life so that we might be able to serve God and be people of God. John 12, 32 says, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. That was his purpose. He was teaching. There were so many wonderful things that he was. He was the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, which is just a tremendous picture. He was the light of the world. He was the bread of life. He was the way, the truth, and the life. But he also was a teacher that was teaching every day. And he is our teacher to this day. We have it recorded for us by his apostles and those who followed him. He was the teacher of God, and he's the only teacher that we have today of God's word. Jesus said in John 13, he says, you call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for I am. Paul would later say over in Colossians 2 and verse 3, in him, that is in Jesus, is hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And he is that good teacher. And when we think about what he would have us to be and do, one of the greatest things is to spend time with his word that is recorded by the apostles. Well, then what did he teach? He taught that God, that the very truth of God, the very knowledge of God was found in a certain place. And that was the most difficult thing that so many people had. But it was prophesied back in Isaiah the second chapter. You remember this is a great prophecy of Isaiah. Isaiah 2, he says beginning in verse 2, now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths, for out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. That's a prophecy of what's coming. There's going to be a kingdom established, a mountain of the Lord, which will be an authority of the Lord. And there are going to be people who will say, as you read verse 3, there will be many people, start off with the apostles, but there will be many people that shall say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways. We shall walk in his paths, for out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. That word that came out of Jerusalem being taught by the apostles is that place we need to be. It was prophesied that way. And that's exactly what the apostles began to be teaching or started teaching in Proverbs or in Acts, the second chapter. to listen to what he calls here the law of the Lord. Out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. To learn it, to understand it, to believe it, to live by it, to obey it. Matthew the 7th chapter and verse 21. Jesus just said, not everyone who saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father. He was teaching that. He taught that every day. And to be people who love the truth, who love the Lord. Not just somebody who obeys, but someone who develops a love. When we read, for example, in 1 John the 5th chapter, in verse 1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is begotten of God. And whosoever loves him that begat loves him also that is begotten of him. Hereby we know that we love the children of God when we love God and do his commandments. A love for truth, a love of God, a love what is of holy and righteous, and dedicate our life to it. And that's what happened to the brethren in Ephesus. They lost their first love. They knew everything. They just didn't have this love, the love of the Lord. When you come back to John, the 3rd chapter again, when you see Nicodemus come to Jesus, and he makes the statement, we know that you're a teacher come from God, for no man can do these signs or these things that you do unless God is with him. He recognized him as a teacher. We know you're a teacher from God. Do we know that? Do we apply that to our thoughts and to our minds? Do we recognize the need of a teacher? That I might have some good ideas, but all through the Bible teaches, don't depend on your own understanding. Don't be a person that thinks life is defined by my own knowledge. I have to be taught. We need a teacher. Jesus is that teacher. He is from the Father. And he's teaching us God's will as we read it. And it's what made him so powerful. What made him so able to deal with people. When we come to the study of Jesus, we ask ourselves, are we listening to him? Are we convinced that he has taught the truth? And is calling upon people to come, follow me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Or come unto me, all you that labor heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Jesus was teaching. He was putting forth what people needed to believe and what people needed to do. And at first, Nicodemus didn't get it. He said, how can these things be? Later on, though, you can see he had it figured out. If you're here this morning, you're not a child of God, you need to listen to the teacher, the one who would say, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That teacher. Listen to him and listen to the ones he sent out and authorized them to speak on his behalf. And recognize we need that teaching. We need it as a definition of our lives, a purpose of our life, to stand right with him so that we can hear one day, well done, thou good and faithful servant. If you're subject to heaven's call this morning, would you please come to stand and sing?